You're out the door at WS.
at CJOR.
Or at CJOR, and you, of course, this is totally unexpected.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I always thought it was kind of superfluous.
Obviously, you needed a job, so what happened then?
Well, I phoned John Ansel at CKWX.
The man who helped train you and hired you?
Yeah, and I said, I explained what the situation was at CJOR, and he said, well, you know, we've just moved into great new studios at 1275 Burrard Street.
That was a beautiful building.
Yeah, it isn't there anymore.
No, gone. There's a condo.
Yeah, and they had a beautiful mosaic, which was done by B.C. Binning. And, I understand that's at UBC somewhere now. Red Robinson was saying that he and somebody else rescued it. They were just going to destroy it. Somehow they got it peeled off the wall, and it's out at UBC, but I don't know where it is, and I've never seen it. But yeah, he said that it was the Department of Fine Arts that took it, but where exactly it is physically.
So WX, you get the call?
Back to doing Concert Under the Stars. The reason being that they had, after I left, they had gone off the air all night again, and they were going to go to 50,000 watts sometime in 1956, I believe. And so they thought it'd be good to have the all-night show going again. So there I was, back at my old job.
But in a new building.
In a new building.
New equipment. Yeah. State-of-the-art stuff for the day.
Yeah.
And that was a longer stay this time.
That was a longer stay. See what happened when I was there. Well, Red Robinson came over from CJOR. Bill Davis was hired as the morning man. He had been at the station in Bathurst, New Brunswick, although I think he was from Toronto originally. And he was another in the revolving door of morning men that they had. They had everybody. They had Barney Potts, Ron Robinson, forget who, and Bill Davis, and several others I'll get to later. So anyway, when Red came over, Dave McCormick likes to say Red was on late at night. He was on 11 to 1, and then I came on, did Concert Under the Stars. Dave McCormick likes to say Red played Chuck Berry, and then I went on and played Chuck Kowski. I'm glad I blamed that on Dave McCormick. Yeah, Dave's another one who was at the UBC Radio Society. Dave would often come and visit me. He was doing the late show at CFUN, and I guess signed off at midnight, and he'd come over and visit me in those days, and we'd talk about radio. He always had a keen sense of programming in those days, and had some critical comments to make about the way different stations were programming at that time, and very astute.
So this goes on for how long? You're doing the Concert Under the Stars.
Concert Under the Stars went on right through Red's era. The station still had not really come to grips with what it should do. Hiring Red was a good thing, and that upped the ratings at that time slot. But they had been for some time flirting with the idea of Formula Radio Top 40. John Ansel and Sam Ross, I think it was in 1957, had gone down to the States, to Minneapolis-St. Paul, listened to a station called WDGY, which had been started by Todd Storrs. And that, to my knowledge, was the first of the Top 40 radio stations. And they brought back these tapes, and we were just amazed at the sound. And they tried to implement it at CKWX, but they really didn't go all the way with it. And at that point, it didn't work that well. And then I think Red came over, and that jazzed it up a bit. And then when Red left, and I think maybe apart from the fact that Portland, Oregon was attractive and making him good offers, I think one of the reasons he left was he could see that we were going to Top 40 radio. The station would sound like his show all the time. And so that may be another reason that he decided it was good to leave. So anyway, we implemented something called the Westinghouse format, which had been adopted by CKEY in Toronto. And John Ansel went there and talked to CKEY and brought back some tapes and said, I think this is the way we're going to go. It was a little like the Stores format, but a bit more subdued. It wasn't quite as frantic as the Stores format had been. Also, he brought back some one-liner slogans that we were supposed to use. Unfortunately, some of them rhymed with C-K-E-Y, so you got things like the accurate list of the songs that you buy played day to night on CKWX. So there I was doing the all-night show, but now instead of Concert Under the Stars, it was Top 40. I think maybe we got more listeners as a result of it. Again, no audience measurements. But we got some sponsors. They'd never been successful at selling Concert Under the Stars. And we got some sponsors and seemed to get some good reaction and sales for the sponsors. So I think that worked a little better. They insisted at one point, CKWX used to broadcast from the PNE regularly every year. They had a pagoda there, broadcast from that. It was a glassed-in thing with a stage outside where you could do some performances. And one night, they decided that I should do the all-night show from there, even though the fair was closed. Could never figure out that logic. But there I was doing the all-night show, playing the Top 40 stuff, all the hits, to nobody. And all of a sudden, I heard this rumbling sound. There was a whole bunch of bikers coming in the gates. The gates were open at that time. It was about 3 in the morning. Huge bikers with black leather jackets and studs, tough-looking guys. And they said to me, I could hear them from outside, they said, play Rebel Rouser. I don't know if you remember Rebel Rouser with Duane Eddy. So I thought, oh, geez, if I don't play this, I'm in trouble. And I happened to have it because all the hits were there on the little rack. There were 45s in those days in the little rack. So I got Rebel Rouser, I put it on the turntable and played it. And they were grooving around, enjoying it and stuff. And I said, after it was over, thank you very much. So I survived.
Your employment at WX, if my resume is correct, lasted until 1960.
Did it last that long? Yeah. I finally got off all night. I was doing... They had imaginative titles for all the shows in those days. I did the Ross Crane Show. And I also was filling in for people. It was 1959 at this point when I did the all-night show. Nick Sands succeeded me doing the Nick Sands show. I was also filling in for some people who were off on vacation. And also, 59 was the year that I got married. My wife and I just celebrated our 50th last September.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we had a nice honeymoon. We went to New York City on our honeymoon, which was a big deal, and enjoyed it. It was fall and autumn in New York, as everything that the song says. And we came back, and we were in a new apartment in the West End on Burnaby Street. I had to get up the next morning and fill in for Jim Robson, who was the latest in the revolving door of morning men on the station. He was better doing sports, of course. He was the sports director after Bill Stevenson left. And he went on to a great sports career, of course, but he had such an infectious sense of humor, they decided that they should make him the morning man, which doesn't always work. There are some guys, as you know, who are very dull in person, and they get on the air, and they are hilarious. And there are other guys who are just, they break you up all the time when you see them in person. They get on the air, they're terrible. Why this is, I don't know. Somebody should do a research. And Jim was a great sports reporter, of course, which is hard to do, especially play-by-play. As a morning man, he just didn't work. I think it was because there were a lot of restrictions put on him. He really couldn't just cut loose and be himself. And I remember one time he got into trouble because this was a time the Edsel had come out and Ford was really pushing this and they thought it was going to be the greatest thing. Jim said, you know what an Edsel is? An Edsel is a Buick sucking a Lenneman. Which is funny, but...
some of the sponsors may not have appreciated it.
The Edsel dealers did not appreciate this. So there were things like that that went on. Anyway, back to my filling in for Jim, and it was October. I think it was around October 15th of 19... Where are we now?
Around 16?
1959.
59?
Yeah, the year I was married. And we were just back from our honeymoon, and I went to bed early. Because I had to get up and be on the air at 6 in the morning. Fortunately, I had got an apartment that was close to CKWX. It was about 4 or 5 blocks along Burnaby Street to CKWX on Burrard Street. And so we're just turning in, and Kathleen, my wife, says to me, you know, there's an awful lot of ambulances activity outside. you should go out and see what's happening. No, I have to be up early. This is the West End. There's something happens here. There's a murder here every night. Don't worry about it. It's nothing. So get up the next morning, and I walk into CKWX, and Nick Sands, the all-night man, is there. And he says, boy, I've had a busy night. I've had every radio station in North America calling me for reports. I said, why? He said, Errol Flynn died last night. Flynn had died two doors down from where I was living. You know, I could have grabbed a tape machine, a portable tape machine, and got an exclusive. Didn't do it. It shows you how I never made a newsman and never will. You know, Errol Flynn had to have a shot from Grant Gould, who was Glenn Gould's cousin, I understand, the pianist, but he was a local doctor at the time, and that was his apartment on Burnaby Street. And Flynn had to have the shot, so he went to see him and gave him the shot, but it didn't work. Flynn was pronounced dead in the hospital. And this was 1959. So into 1960, yet again, CKWX is trying for a morning man. So they hired a guy who had been on Kobe, K-O-B-Y, in San Francisco, named Clyde Hatton. Ironically enough, he had been turfed out because the union said they had to, if they were cutting staff, they had to cut the most junior man. And so he was out of there. So he, on spec, applied to CKWX because I think he'd got mail from people in Vancouver who used to hear him on Kobe. And CKWX hired him. John Ansel said, you know, Clyde Hatton is awfully close to Hutton, who was going to be his biggest competitor and the guy he was trying to shoot down. So let's call him Buddy Clyde. He often uses this nickname. So we'll call him Buddy Clyde. So they hired Buddy Clyde as the morning man. I don't know whether he was successful or not because I left soon and it wasn't my idea. Because they hired Clyde at quite a high salary, they didn't need me anymore. So after that long time that you said at CKWX, I was told I wasn't needed anymore. So for some of the young people might be listening to this and that have been fired, and I understand this has happened at quite a few radio stations in Vancouver recently, take heart. I went east. Bob Gillies had already gone to CFCF. CFCF stood for Canada's First Canada.